This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Western Canada, TELUS has AMI Audio on channel 889, and Westman subscribers, channel 889 as well. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald welcoming you back to Kelly and Company.
Once a month on Tuesdays, we like to have a very real and thought-provoking conversation surrounding parenting with Lucia Belafonte.
Are you ready to learn, laugh, and maybe even cry a little? I'm Lucia Belafonte. Thanks for joining me on Kelly and Company, where both kids and parents can expect to grow in confidence and courage.
Lucia, looking forward to today's conversation with you as well, because we have a very special guest joining you on the show today.
Yes, we do. I feel like such a proud mom. My son, Richard Thomas, is joining our conversation today.
Hey, Richard Thomas. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. Did mom make you blush there? Like that kind of like, you know, because moms will do that.
Earlier when she told me, yes.
Right. Well, glad to have you with us, Richard Thomas.
Like I said, conversations on the parenting segment. So this is, we're going to get into something kind of surrounding us talking in the last few weeks and maybe over a month about driver's licenses and how us as people with low vision or people who are blind go through the conversations and phases throughout life of not having a driver's license and the conversations that come up around that.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to continue that conversation because when I was speaking with Richard Thomas, it actually came about quite organically. An issue that, you know what, it had escaped my mind. But I'll let him explain later.
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of got into it too, Richard Thomas, when a couple weeks ago on during our Back to Basics week. Can you tell us a little bit about you, sir?
Yes. Yeah. Right now I'm enrolled full-time at Niagara College for electrical engineering technician, and I'm doing the program online, as everyone is. And it's quite a bit easier than when I was doing it in person.
And why is that? Why is it easier?
Yeah. Without having to get to school where I was previously living, the bus would come once an hour to get to the college, and that was... well, an issue. Made it very inflexible for when I could pick classes, when I could get to school. And if it was early or late, I just miss a class.
Well, that doesn't sound very practical. I know that this is a big conversation that a lot of us have when it comes to choosing commuting to school or living on residence, right? That's a conversation that I had a lot with my parents. I'm like, I know it's in Toronto, but I don't want to commute 2 hours and I don't want to miss buses and classes and things like that.
And they said, tough.
Yeah. Mm. And then I moved anyway.
I know. Oh, sorry. I'm going to apologize for our dog. Of all days, I don't have the person who's usually here who takes him out of the house when we're on air. So please forgive us, but we're real.
It's okay. He's learned lessons from Rumya's dog.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. But you know, you're right. Well, someone saying tough is annoying. I mean, yes, we have to do what we have to do. But I'll let Richard Thomas share how he actually felt and how it impacted his learning when he was missing the bus. Go ahead, my dear.
Thank you. Having a bus nearby was great because it meant I could actually get around if I had to go somewhere for the day. But for school specifically, it meant I had one route that came, as I said, once an hour. And that's just not feasible for taking a program in college. You don't have enough time. If you miss the bus, you miss the class. and there's no flexibility there. Classes have to be taken around a bus schedule.
Right. And it is tough because people expect, hey, how come, you know, other students have to do the same thing, and it's really, really tough. And Lucia, you've had students talk to you about this in the past for their own courses and stuff like that too, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we'd have so many conversations towards the end of their high school career in preparation for, like, you know, going on to college, university, or life. And it was frustrating because you're absolutely right, Kelly. Everyone is stuck if they're taking public transportation and the bus only comes once an hour. So you need to accommodate and strategize for that. But sometimes what the general public also, forgets is that it's not just about having those orientation and mobility skills and having accessibility to public transportation, right? Because a route might seem feasible to a person who's sighted, but then if you're blind or partially sighted, that same route is, boy, oh boy, is it a challenge. And sometimes not even practical at all.
Mm-mm. And I also find routes, when you think about it, unfortunately, transit is often looked at more of a business than we'd like it to be. So therefore, if the other people who have options of borrowing dad's car, buying a car, doing other things, carpooling with somebody, no one's using that bus. So then there's going to be less service, which puts those of us who need it, who have no other choice, in jeopardy.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely true. I've often thought there has to be a better solution. There really does.
Yeah. And it's when we think about traveling independently, you know, we toss that around a lot, right? Because I remember when I was younger, I had this overarching aim to travel independently one day. I want to be able to do that. But what does that mean for you as an individual? And how does that get affected depending on where you live and what you need to go to? Like, school's one example, work is another, right? If you can't necessarily have the option of traveling independently to these places and it's part of your daily life, then it becomes a struggle.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to extend that even further to where my conversation with Richard Thomas stemmed from. Is he was talking to me about wanting to hurry up and finish school and buying a house. And I said, what for? And then, Richard Thomas, I'm going to let you chat a little bit about this and you share.
Thank you. My intent is to finish school quickly so I can get a house as fast as I can, because having low vision means where I can live in relation to where I work is limited. A lot of other good options, because I don't need much, and if I'm living alone, they're available to me, having a trailer, living on a boat, all of those which I could do if they coincidentally were near where I worked. Otherwise, I need a house or I need to rent somewhere. If I'm renting, I'm spending money and not moving forward as the price of housing increases. So it's much better for me to just have the money to get a place near where I work, save enough so I can buy a house right off the bat, and then find a way to mitigate the cost, either through renting part of it or some other business on the side, just because of how big an issue it is to travel to work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So all of that stuff kind of stems from, I guess it's kind of a cycle, right, Richard Thomas? Like, you're not really looking for a home unless you found where your work is, or vice versa. Like, you're kind of trying to make it fall under one package.
Yes, where I live is entirely dependent on where I work.
That's it.
Yeah. If I happen to work in the middle of the city, not much, because public transit is dense. Anywhere else, Canada is large. That doesn't exist.
And it's interesting, because of the priorities, you have to put it in place. So to get to work 5 days a week or whatever it might be, might compromise you on Sunday when there's no bus because of where you have to live.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, then you talk about trying to get creative with solutions, and sometimes they're not practical. You might not have someone that you can get that could drive you there. And we talked a little bit last month about taking a taxi and where that's a great idea, but if it's costing $160 one way, which is not unreasonable. That's an hour and a bit, an hour and a half drive. I just did that a couple of months back. That's why I know. I mean, how practical is that? $160 one way.
Yeah. And if you're working with people, and even if someone says, well, I can help you out, I can give you a ride, you're dependent on that person, which makes you feel like it goes back to as if you sat down for the interview and the boss said, we're out in the country. How are you getting in? Well, I can take transit. I can do this and that. You know, the last thing they want to hear you say is, well, I can maybe find a coworker that will, what?
Yeah. It's that idea of being independent. I know, Richard Thomas, we've talked about this often too, how you feel frustrated because you want to be far more independent than you sometimes are.
Yes, there's a lot of things that you don't have the opportunity to just get around. Yeah, when you're low vision and can't drive somewhere, you just can't do that. And again, even if I find a job and work somewhere that I like, if I wanted to change jobs, I now have to move to where I'm working again.
Mm, true. It's not just a matter of, it might not be the issue of taking a different route or taking the, public transportation. We're not even talking about an hour. Sometimes it's just not feasible. However, this is such a serious conversation.
Well, it is. And I feel like it's very reflective of a lot of our lives, people who are used to commuting. I know that's not necessarily specific to people who are blind or low vision, but it can be, right? And I have a lot of sighted friends who don't drive either and face this very similar circumstances where they're like, okay, well, it's either a 2-hour commute for me to get to this dream job, or I have to move, or I have to keep looking. That's just kind of the reality for a lot of people.
Well, and the cost of where you want to live, where you want to have access to that transit, it's going to be more than that because people want it more and people are in that situation. There's going to be that area. So you're kind of stuck too, guys, because, you know, yes, I need the transit, so I need to be where I can have it. Or if you're way out, then I need to live next door to work so I can get there on time for any shift or anything that comes my way, which precludes me from maybe my social life.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely true. It's something that, you know, we try to, well, as a parent, you try to raise your child and let them know that they can be as independent as possible. And that then whatever challenges come your way, you have to deal with them. There's no other option other than to deal with them. But then the reality is that sometimes it can really affect the quality of life. And I think that's what we're talking about, right? We want that quality of life to be as optimal as possible.
Exactly. And which brings me to the question, you talked about it at the intro of the segment. You were surprised at yourself for kind of quote unquote forgetting the need to be close to work, or what that's like even as a parent with a child who has a disability. So what do you suggest? Like what does that mean to you to consider that?
Right. Well, so considering that, and that this has been my career for 20 some odd years, and my son is now almost 25, so I really shouldn't have forgotten. But it's just that sometimes, for me, it's you, anyhow, I'm going to go off on a tangent. We don't have time. Basically, bottom line is parents really need to speak with their children. And from a very early age, have conversations, all sorts of conversations. They don't need to be about whether or not your child is blind or partially sighted, but just have that relationship with your child so that they're comfortable to speak openly and honestly with you, so that when there are obstacles to life, when there's challenges, when there are difficult decisions to be made, they know that they can count on you. They know that they can come to you and share with you openly and honestly whatever it is that is happening, so that, you know, you can maybe either guide them or just be there for emotional and moral support. So I say talk, and talk some more.
Plus, there's that transportation fund you mentioned a while ago. Oh, I thought that was a great idea,
that's
too.
That's right. Sorry, guys. I started a transportation fund real early in life.
Real early.
Absolutely.
Yeah, real early. When they're born, never mind toys and gifts from all the aunts and uncles. Right?
Some toys they'll understand later. Richard Thomas Lucia, thank you so much. We appreciate the conversation always.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
That was our parenting talk with Lucia Belafonte and her son, Richard Thomas, and they were talking about driving. Well, lack of driving.
Yeah, a lot of lack in our case. We discussed the five love languages from Dr. Gary Chapman on our book club meeting. We do this once a month. We'll get into the conversation after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.